Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with another one of our season 40 winner retrospectives. And today we are joined by Dominic Abate to talk about Wendell Holland, the winner of Survivor Ghost Island. I'm really excited for this one because for all the people we've talked to, this was an alliance from the very beginning right down to the very, very end. And I'm really excited to hear what you're going to have to say about Wendell's chances on season 40 of Survivor.
What's going on, guys? Happy to be here. Yeah, this is fun. This is going to be good. This is all hypothetical. Obviously, we don't know any of this is actually happening. And but in the fact that it could coincidentally stars aligned with these 20 people out there, we'll just have a fun little time figuring out what we think is going on.
Allegedly happening.
Allegedly. I can't wait till Alexa and I ended up getting like five of these wrong and we start like doing these and then it's like, oh crap. God. Wendell's not on there. So Dom actually, it doesn't matter that we recorded this. Yeah.
Right. You never know. They might have leaked the wrong cast, right? Who knows?
Oh my God. Could you imagine? That
it's
would
actually
be
all first boots.
Yeah. Oh my God.
that's season 41. I'm pumped for that.
Very nice.
But I know that you're very high on Wendell this season, because I watched you, what'd you auction for him? Like $80 or something like that? You're willing to go higher.
He was the highest bid. I got him for 43 or 41, I think it was. And it's no joke, I would have paid more. I would have easily paid double that. But also, I was new to the auction process for these Survivor things. I wasn't sure if we would be spending up to $80 per person. So I think they wanted to feel me out, and they were able to get me to spend, 40-something on Wendell. And like I said, it's not just because we played together and I have like a bias, you know, like I believe in him. I have faith in him. I don't think he will perform fantastically with anybody out there. And I'm really, really excited to see how he does because, I know him, you know, and I just want to see him. I want to see him perform again. I miss him.
Yeah, it's perform without Dom this time. It's yeah, like, just get absolutely. Out there and do it yourself, man. Get out there.
He's fine. He does not need me. He does not need me. You guys will see. We happen to have a real good balance, him and I, when we work together. You know, he talked me off the ledge a lot of times when I wanted to get real aggressive on things. And sometimes when he was maybe not aggressive enough, I would push him to be more aggressive. So we really work together in that sense. But he has such an awareness of himself and the people around him that I just know that when he gets out there, he's not going to have any trouble fitting in and just gelling with everyone that's out there. It is interesting, the group that's out there. It's like there's a, I don't know, I've never done a returnee season at this point, but I know that the jitters that go into it as a newbie, you just sit there and you're like, you just don't know what to expect. Going back as a returnee, you kind of have an idea of what's coming, the waiting periods, you know, how long you're going to be waiting for another challenge to come along. There's all these things you learn from playing the first time. So I'm really interested to see how that's going to work out. But yeah, I'm not worried for him. I have faith that he will get right into something right out of the gate.
Do you think that he's going to look to align with somebody similar to you again, or do you think he's going to go a different route this time?
I would say if I was him, I don't necessarily think it matters on who he aligns with. I think he should just do what he did the first time, which is not do much at all. You know, if I could give him advice, if he was going out there and said, Dom, what do you think I should do? I'd say, don't do anything. I would say make small adjustments here and there, but play the game you played with me, because whatever you did, it worked the first time. No need. Don't try to be more aggressive less next time because you saw how well it worked for me. Just do what you do. And as far as who he's going to link up with, I mean, it's easy to say you could think he would link up with one or two people, but the one thing that the viewer doesn't, I mean, I guess the viewer does know it. If you really think about it, everything about this game is circumstantial, you know? So even if like, you would never anticipate Wendell working with Kim Spradlin. And I'm not to say that he shouldn't. There's no reason why he should or shouldn't. But let's just say it's someone I wouldn't think he would work with is Kim. The circumstances may require him to work with Kim. It might, he might be in a situation where Kim and Wendell are looking at each other like, you know what? We weren't expecting to link up, but we need to, for whatever reason, and this makes sense that we do it. So that's what I'm saying. As far as Wendell's concerned, I don't know that it necessarily matters specifically who he's going to link up with, because his personality matches with that person, or if he's maybe looking for another Dom type guy out there. I think the circumstances will dictate who he plays with. I think for our season, when I played with him, it was a real slow start. We had days to get acquainted and figure out who we wanted to work with. Something tells me season 40 is not going to offer them this multiple days of just hanging out and getting to know each other. I think it's going to be pedal to the metal day one, and you have to make decisions that you don't want to make that early in the game. I think season 40, they're going to bring it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that they're throwing the kitchen sink at them. Mm-hmm. There's going to be advantages. There's going to be so many tribe swaps, I feel like, in the early portion of the game. Like, I think we're going to get one at 18. I wouldn't be surprised if we get one at 16. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get one right before the
pregame alliances.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah. And if there is these pregame alliances that do exist, that's the other thing that breaks it up, is that the circumstances of the game will dissolve those pregame. And again, I don't know that there is a pregame anything going on. We hear rumors that, oh, this one may be talking to that one. You never know. And you know what? And let's say you did have a pregame conversation with someone. You still can't trust that person. You don't know if that person pregame is BSing you. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't trust anyone. If it was me going back for returning season, I wouldn't attempt to contact anybody ahead of time, because that alone looks sketchy. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't want to go into the game as the sketchy guy who was trying to set myself up for when I got in the game. I already have something lined up. I don't want to be that guy. I want to go into the game fresh, and maybe you need me, maybe I need you, and now I can't work with you because I didn't have a phone call with you before the games. Like, that's nonsense. That pregame stuff to me drives me batty, because it's just, first of all, it's the dumbest move you can make. And second of all, if it does exist, I'm fairly certain the Survivor gods are going to figure out a way to dissolve it. They're going to just make something's just going to happen where you have to do something different from whatever game plan you thought you had. Survivor is not about having a game plan. You can have an idea of the kind of game you want to play, but you can't sit there and say, I'm getting to the end with these three people and this is how I'm going to do it, because it just doesn't work out. Nothing goes to plan. You have to just be able to adapt.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, with the amount of advantages and who knows what else that's going to be on this season, you know, Fair Play always talks about his season 16 pregame alliance. And he walks out onto the beach and he's like, well, this sucks. I don't want to be in an alliance with these people. And then, you know, you come to this situation and now you might not get the same person you were talking to on the phone. Plus, here's an advantage. Here's a tribe swap. You're starting on a tribe with people that you didn't communicate with. Like, it's just such a crapshoot at that point. Like,
it is. And if anything, it just convolutes the situation, and then it gets you in trouble, because now, like, you've made commit. Like, what? Who's doing that? You know. So, if I could give advice to anyone that is going back for returnee season, it would be the guy that doesn't have a pregame. Like, it sounds scary. Like, you don't want to go into the game maybe and be like, oh, I think those people were talking ahead of time, and those people were talking ahead of time. Let them do that. If that's what they're going to do, let them do that. And I'll be the guy that needs that low-hanging fruit extra number. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't talk to anyone. Does anyone need me, you know, to come along with them for numbers? Whatever. The pregame stuff drives me nuts. I don't think it ever works out. It's crazy. And you know what? It's 9 out of 10 times it falls apart anyway. So not even worth trying.
Well, and especially somebody like you, you'd be viewed as such a big threat when you go out for your second time. Yet I actually feel like Wendell, despite the fact that he beats you in one of the most iconic final tribals, he beats you. But I don't think anybody's viewing him as big of a threat as they would view you if you were going out for a second time.
Yeah. And again, it's we're both super effective in our game. It's just the way, it's just his style of play. He's more subtle. You know what I mean? And I'm a little louder in my gameplay. So that maybe turns people. They're like, I don't want to deal with a guy who's so out there and doing such flashy moves. And, you know, some of my stuff was creative, but a lot of stuff that you did not see in my season, Wendell did, was very creative, and that they didn't show. So that's what I'm saying. Like, his ability to do things it's top of the line. He plays an A game. Where he really excels is his ability to do it in such a subtle way that people don't even realize he's doing it. You know what I mean? Where me, it's like, I'm like this Italian guy from New York, just doesn't know how to like keep it under wraps. You know, I try my best to, but I just, that's the way I grew up. I'm a flashy personality that just likes to, again, it's not like I'm bragging about things, but I just, when I try to drive a point, I really drive a point. You know what I mean? And Wendell has the ability to just take it back and suck it in and just chill and wait his turn. And so I'm saying, he has, like you said, he does not come off as threatening as I am, and he's beaten me. Mm-hmm. And it's and that's why I put $40-something on him, because he is that smooth of a player and he's crazy smart. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like, he is the ideal person to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At first glance, who sticks out to you as someone in his ideal world he could work with?
I'm telling you, and again, it's not a race thing, but Jeremy, it's just the two of them are just so similar. And same thing with me. Jeremy's someone I would link up with as well. For me, I think the Jeremy thing would be because we're both dads as well, but it's more of a Northeast thing, I swear. It's like we just get each other. And that to me is one person who immediately stands out. You know, Boston Rob's Northeast guy as well, you know, but he's been doing this.
He's been around
so long. He's like a different breed. You know what I mean? He's not like, but who knows? I think Wendell would bond with Boston Rob as well. I think he'd bond with almost anyone out there. Let me just take a look again at my little
while you take a look, I just want to say too, with, they all know that 39 is the Sandra and Boston Rob idols, statue, Island of the Idols, whatever. They all know that before they go out there. So I feel like that is actually going to hurt Boston Rob and Sandra more, because these winners are going to be like, I want a statue. Like, what the hell is this?
I mean, you think like in almost in a resentful way, like, let's just get rid of them. They've got too much. I would be curious, like, what the hell did they just do on season 39? And why are they back here again? And why are we keeping them around? You know,
they're playing a year's worth of Survivor.
I mean, I don't think. Yeah. Just looking at my draft results, Sandra, and I actually own Sandra as well. I think I got her for like $10. Boston Rob went for probably the least amount of money. Nobody wanted him, you know, $7. And again, it's a respect thing. It's not to say he's not good in the game. We know he's good in the game, but how many times have we started the season, like a Boston Rob season, and he say it like in one of his opening confessionals, if these people were smart, they'd get rid of me right out of the gate, but they're not, they're dumb, and they'll keep me here. And they do, time after time after time, they keep Boston Rob there. Do not tell me this cast, season 40, all winners season, is going to continue to keep him in this game. If they do, none of them belong in season 40. That's insanity. That's insanity.
It is. It is. And I was saying that, I don't know where, but I think I said to Alexa, like, Adam Klein, huge fan. If he decides to work with Parvati and Boston Rob, like, dude, then like, what kind of fan are you? Like, you have to lose your fan card, because like, now you're like blinded by it. They're going to beat you if they get to the end.
You know what? It's so funny. You just said that threesome. And that threesome never came into play for me. Like, I never thought Adam, Parvati, and Boston Rob as a threesome.
This is your new final three now.
But what's so crazy about it is, if you really start to piece together different combinations of groups that will work together, it just changes the whole dynamic. Like, you can't, like, just that example you just gave me, Adam, Parvati, and Boston Rob. And like you said, there's that other thing you have to do. Now, Adam's met Rob already, so it's not that big a deal. But I think the one thing that scared me about Wendell, and it's not that it scared me, but a lot of the players that have not, like even Nick Wilson, I'm just looking at my cheat sheet, forgive me, Ben, Fitzgerald, for the most part, you know, they're going to go back and play with legends. And a lot of them are going to be like, I'd be starstruck. I'd be like, and again, I'm not starstruck in the celebrity world, but in the Survivor world I am, because I love this game. I've been watching forever. So when I see someone as big of a character as Sandra or Rob or something like that, I'm gonna have a hard time like shaking that out of my system and saying, all right, I'm here to play against them. Like, it's great, it's a big moment, but I got to get that out of my soul and just be like, all right, he's my enemy. I can't let his charm suck me in the way it's done to every other player that's ever played with him and has kept him in the game. So it's like you almost say to yourself, I remember like watching Boston Rob 10 years ago, like on All-Stars or whatever it was, and just being like, oh my God, I love this guy because he reminds me of me and the decisions he's making. I'm like, and if I was out there with him, him and I would kill it together. You know what I mean? So now that's as a fan, you're saying that. Now you're actually a player and you've gotten the call to come play. And now you're returning and now you're actually doing what you've like imagined 10 years ago as a, you know, as a youngin. And now you're actually doing it. So now it's like, oh, I got to get snap out of this. How is this happening to me right now where I'm playing with these guys? And, you know, so I fear for that part with some of the new player, like, you know, the more recent winners, the Wendels, Nick Wilsons. I just hope that they don't get wrapped up in that whole thing where they're just mesmerized by the, you know, the big legendary players. And I need them to shake that out in the first couple of days, get their heads back in the game and remember what their mission is, you know?
It's so interesting when you say all of that, because like Adam Klein, before he goes and wins Survivor, he was a fan of the podcast when I was doing it with Will. And like, right, he was a fan of us. He would comment on all of our videos and we were getting like 200 views. So like Adam was just like a huge Survivor dork. Like he just loved Survivor. So this is only up until 3 years ago, he's just a Survivor fan. And you know, he could have played, he didn't play the best game, but if he goes out there and plays the best game ever, he's still not going to be considered like an icon the way Sandra or Boston Rob or even Ethan. I mean, he's like the first nice guy winner. And it's so weird because to me, it almost feels like a fans versus favorites again, because you have your icons from like
long time ago. Right.
And then you have your, like you just went through the whole list, Michelle, Adam, Sarah, even, I mean, at least Sarah played 28, but yeah, Nick, but still, Wendell, it's tough.
No, Sarah's still considered, like, if it's broken up by old school, new school, Sarah's going to be new school.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's nuts, because it does. You really could break it down. Look, you got Ethan playing, you know what I mean? You have some real old school blood out there that you could break it down, old school, new school. Now, let me look at it. Do we actually have that as a thing?
You would have to cut it out. But I think you'd have to cut it at like Denise, which is kind of a weird cut.
Yeah, it is weird.
And
she's
not.
Because then Tyson would be on new school instead of old school, but Denise would be on old school instead of new school.
Yeah, so I don't think that'll be
old school, but she also played pretty hard in Game Changers.
34,
so.
Yeah. But you'd still have to consider her old school. Amber's old school. Dan Boatwright. I mean, you got a lot. I mean, but it's just wacky because
I could kind of pull it off. I mean,
you could if you had to. But I think the theme in itself is good enough. But I would love to see it's split with new versus old in the beginning. And then, like you said, at 18, they'll probably swap it up anyway. But I would imagine that forget about pregame alliances and phone calls actually made, but the relationships just exist from the events you do after Survivor ends. You know what I mean? So Boston Rob running into Ethan is not a big deal. Like they've seen each other at a bunch of stuff, or, you know what I mean? I'm sure. So again, you don't even have to say pregame alliance. There's just relationships that exist. You know what I mean?
Heroes versus Villains is very well represented on this season.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's
four people from that season playing on this season.
Yeah. There's also one of them has a wife that's on as well.
How do you feel about that, Dom? I know this is supposed to be the Wendell podcast, but how do you feel that Rob and Amber are both on this season?
Well, actually, it's funny because Amber went for a lot of money on the auction, because we feel like Rob's the sacrificial lamb to get Amber the win. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to go out there and be like, I know you didn't take me out, but just forget about Amber. She's in the background. No one's paying attention to her. And I remember we were fighting for Amber in the auction. And I was like, I think I'm going to go fight. Like, she was someone I was going to take up there as well. Mm-hmm. I think it was Jeremy, Wendell, Amber, and there was a fourth. I'm just looking. Maybe Adam. Yeah, Adam. I tell you, Adam, I have a lot of hope for as well. Like you said, his win won't be as flashy as the some of the legends, but he plays a really good, subtle game. But as far as the Rob and Amber thing, that's just so weird to me. Like, what is that? Yeah,
I get that they quote unquote have to, because they are like
the first family
in Survivor.
Iconic
reality television.
Absolutely.
But it's weird that like we might be losing like a Tina because we might get
And the other thing is they're going in with that advantage, but it's not an advantage because they're immediately looked at as a power couple, obviously. You know, they're it's not like Amber's gonna go in there and be like, oh yeah, I'm ready to vote Rob out, you know. Mm-hmm. She might. She may have to, you know, if she wants to get anywhere in this game, she may have to do that. So
I think Amber would have been better off without Rob. And then also what our theory was if they're gonna swap at 18, and you're a big fan and you know this, they're gonna have to start Rob and Amber on opposite tribes.
Absolutely.
But there's no way you don't vote one of them out before 18. So my thinking is if Amber's tribe loses the first time, they might not send Amber home. But if they lose again, they have to send Amber home because you can't let Boston Rob and Amber actually link
together.
But then I think if Boston Rob's tribe loses, he goes home.
He goes home right away.
Immediately.
If he doesn't, they're the worst players ever. I'm sorry. They're the worst players ever. I don't care who you are. If you don't get rid of him, because if history teaches you anything about him and his game, it's that he is seen as a threat in the beginning. Everyone says we're going to get rid of him, and then they let him get his footing. And once he gets his footing, it's over. He just takes that game over. Please, these people have to just not be dumb. Do not be dumb.
You're getting a surprise visitor.
Yeah, sorry. Stay higher up, right? All right, get out of here, you.
I just saw that. I was like, I don't know if Dom knows.
I'm Heisman him. I'm trying to keep him out. I'm like, go over there.
I'm watching like a horror movie. I'm like, the killer is behind you, Dom. He's behind you. Turn around.
Or Mom just picked him up, scooped him up.
Okay. No, it's totally fine. To kind of turn direction a little bit, I have a question for you. So Wendell wins your season, but you got a much bigger edit than Wendell did.
Right.
Do you think that something similar could happen to Wendell on this season? And do you think that if Wendell isn't going to win the season, he might be like one of those like quiet edits just because of himself by nature?
Oh, I hope not. I hope either he's gets a quiet edit and wins, or I hope if he doesn't win, I hope you get to see his creativity. You know what I mean? Because there's no way if he doesn't win the game and if he does go out, it's not going to be he'll be going out because he pulled off some fancy maneuver. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's going to be something creative that he does that maybe he gets caught doing it and that gets him the boot. I want the world to see a lot of the things that they didn't show of him. And again, this is real detailed and like Mike, like the way I want to explain, I'm not even going to get into my season, but this one vote with when we were broken into those three tribes and two people went home that episode with Kellen and Laurel and the extra vote, like he crafted the most genius execution to get Kellen to play the thing. And they went at each other and I can't even describe it. I forget the actual thing. I have to go back and watch it to remind myself, but it was so well done and he got no credit for it on the show. And I was like, oh, like that was his move, you know? And I think if the audience would have seen that move play itself out, they wouldn't have been like, they would have understood easily why he deserved the win. Like we both got a lot. Like Wendell, you did great. I think Dom deserved it. Or I'll be like, Dom, you did great, but I understand why Wendell won it. And there's always a lot of mixed thing. It's a lot of love for both of us. It's very up there, you know, in that even category, same way the audience viewed it, the same way the jury viewed it. But I think if you guys would have seen these one or two other moves that he did in my season, it would have been less Dom. You should have had it. It would have been more like, I get it. That's why Wendell won it. You know what I mean? So there's these moments that I wish he was able to show. So I hope for 40, like I said, if he doesn't go the distance, that at least you get to see some of his chops. You know what I mean? Because the guy's brilliant and he has really creative ideas out there. And just like I said, his ability just to soften people and like bring Sebastian a shell from the other beach, you know, like just so smooth. And like, if I would have witnessed that, I wouldn't even thought anything about it. I would have been like, oh, that's cool. He brought like, but then if you really go back and look at it, it's like, how brilliant is that? Why didn't I think of that?
That's how he got all the votes you didn't get.
So
were because of
crazy.
Like
those
that.
Little
all
moves. Yeah. Crazy. So crazy.
Yeah. And what's interesting about when you look at this cast is everybody is so scared of the strategic players and nobody's scared of the social players. Mm. And Wendell's one of the social players, I think. Like, he gets lumped in there. It's probably better for him that nobody did get to see his whole game on Ghost Island because nobody's looking at him. Nobody's looking at Michelle. Nobody's looking at Adam. Nobody's looking at those types of players as threats to win. And you have somebody like Kim who hasn't played in, you know what, 16 seasons, 8 years, who everybody's like, oh my God, she's going to win. Like, we need to get rid of her immediately, when she barely played, like, her season barely had idols on it.
Right.
You know, and everybody, but everybody's still more scared of her than they are of Wendell.
Yeah. And I think that's the upper hand for the social player over the strategic player, is that at least as a social player, you're not targeted early, which allows you to get your footing. You know what I mean? The game becomes a lot easier once you understand the big picture of what's going on. In the beginning, it's mayhem. People are scrambling just to not be the first person out. So you're just like always trying to be part of the big group conversation. You're always keeping an eye on things and never, like, you know, sleeping with two eyes closed. You just always want to make sure you're in that huddle with the big group in the beginning. And if you can get past that initial phase of the game, once you see, like, the sand, you know, the line in the sand and which way people are aiming, then you can, like, let your guard down a little bit and play more with your brain and less with your emotions. You know what I mean? Like, you're making decisions because you're emotionally afraid that some, you know what I mean? Where once you get your footing and you see the dynamic of the groups and the tribes, and this is going that way, and this one's a good performer at this, and that one's really good at talking to people. Now you can work your magic as a social player and just bite away and eat away at those strategic players and just let them grab that spotlight and keep you out of it. And that's ideal for a social player. You want to be that person that's not under that big light on day one.
Yeah. And I think, like, people like those social players, Wendell, Danny, all them, they've sat next to people like Michelle beat Aubrey. Wendell beats you. Danny beats Stephanie LaGrossa. Right. You know, like, they've beaten people who they've seen play the really aggressive game and lose. So why should they change it?
Right.
Like, they know that it can work if they get there because of who they are.
Right. I agree with that. But I also think that, like, just from conversations I've had with Wendell after our season ended, he would say, like, oh, that thing you did, that was sharp. Like, I like that thing, you know. I think he'll take bits and pieces of my game, you know, and but he'll strategically choose when to throw a little bit of that spice into his own game. In other words, if I can go back and play again, I'd take a lot of Wendell's game and apply it to my own game. Right. Now, Wendell, as the winner, is not going to say that he needs to apply my game that much into his game, because he beat me and he knows his ways better. Right. But I think he does, just because of how close it was, you know, seeing that he got to hear from the jury's mouth that they respected certain things I did. And I think he just is going to want to hear that when it comes time for him to speak to a jury at Final Three. He's going to want to hear, yes, Wendell, socially, you killed it. You were amazing. You built this. You helped at camp. You were a comfort to me when I was feeling sad. But he also realizes, to win this game, especially season 40, all winners, he's going to also need to be able to say, and I had this move and it was a little flashy and it was a little aggressive, but I felt it was necessary to win this game this year. That, to me, I think, is the only thing he's really going to want to do, is incorporate a little bit more spice. And again, he did a lot of good creative stuff. It was very low key. I think he realizes that he needs to be a little bit flashier, but not much, not much at all, because his game is really good.
Yeah, I really agree with that. Now, do you think that, like, because it was like more like there's a lot of new school people. I mean, we have every winner from 31 to 37
right
out here on this season. Do you think that Wendell's going to kind of gravitate towards them, or do you think he's going to try to, like, he's going to, like, there's like a couple of them that he might like? Does he work with a Ben or a Sarah really in any situation?
I think there's going to just be a natural gravitational pull to the more recent winners. I think that's just going to be their click, you know, and the same way some of the other old school, just from past relationships they had, again, had nothing to do with pregame alliances, just past moments they spent together, whether it be after seasons ended and they did charity events together or they've played in seasons together. Mm-hmm. That's just naturally going to happen where those groups are going to just form. But like you said, circumstances of the game will force those cliques to intermingle with each other. And now all of a sudden, Wendell will see that, you know, having a conversation with Danny Boatwright might be something he never expected, but somehow they are clicking on all cylinders and they're hitting it off, and maybe they feel no one would suspect them as a twosome in the game. There's a million things that could happen. I think in the beginning of the game, you're going to see a natural tendency for the new players to kind of stick together, because they all kind of have that same fear that the legends of the game from earlier are going to eat them up, and that they're going to make sure out of the gate that they're not victims to that. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like the millennials playing against the Gen Xers, like, no, we're not getting eaten up by these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. I hope to see that. I mean, I love everyone in the season. Honestly, whoever wins, I'm sure it'll be a fantastic ending, you know. But I just hope that it's not so cut and dry where the old school players just like, let's just get these mm-hmm. new kids out of here and show them what it's like, you know.
I think it'll be like that for the first half of the premiere, and then it'll dissipate pretty quickly.
Mm. Yeah.
Could be. I mean, hopefully. We don't even, yeah.
It's wishful thinking.
Depending on where people land, but I could definitely see that where it's like, oh, we're going to, you know, let's take our old school and we're going to show these new schoolers that we can play with idols and advantages and whatever. Yeah. And then it'll like kind of just be like, all right, like that's just the way to get you into all winners, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe. And like I said, and even if that could just be the conversation, just to keep yourself off the chopping block, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you guys want to do this plan? Let's get rid of all the new guys and we'll stick together. Like, you never know how the tribes are going to be divided. But if it is, you know, it's going to be 10 and 10. And if 6 out of those 10 are old schoolers, that's it. That's enough reason
to get
rid of a new schooler. You know what I mean? And same thing the opposite way. If it's 6 of the 10 are from season 31 or more recent, and old school's going home out of the gate. That's just naturally going to happen. But as soon as like you said, there might be 3 swaps this season. Who the hell knows? Because they just always want to keep it that they're just like, clash heads, you know, smash into each other and figure it out. And we just want to see a big mess out there out of the gate. We don't want anyone getting comfortable and pagonging another tribe. We just want you guys killing each other the whole time. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to be able to see a pagonging, because I think we're going to have extra votes, idol nullifiers, idols. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we're getting people like who are getting out of the game like Sari did in Game Changers.
Yeah.
You know, I would not be surprised.
I'd like to, regardless of idols and advantages or any of that, I'd like to see some real aggressiveness. And I mean, like, just vocally. I want to see at like tribal council, I want to see people going at it, because this is what we've been waiting for, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been waiting for 40. Show us what you got, you know? I mean, if I was out there, I mean, obviously I want the million, but man, I would just want to play that game so super hard. Yeah. I just feel like it deserves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think like most easily, everyone here won, so the egos are going to be there,
right,
to some extent. But I think it's not just an ego thing. It's I need to prove that I'm the best of the best. I think it's going to be pretty intense. I think they're gonna go at it.
Yeah, and if you even look at season that just passed, where Chris took the idol off, gave it up, and did fire and won. That
all
shows
you.
No, but I explained it even after my season in like a post game interview. I was like, that's what I should have done, and that's what's going to happen. And even after that, there's going to be the next level of what they can do to top even Chris's move. You know what I mean? So all these possibilities that exist now, it's really going to be how creative can you get, and how, you know what I mean? Like, the thought came into my head to take the necklace off and give it up and take Wendell on. Obviously, I didn't think I needed to. I thought my game was better than his. But the fact that I was thinking it was simultaneously telling me, like, if I did do this, this is like upping the game. This is taking the game to the next level. And that future players will realize that this is how you need to play the game now. You know what I mean? So I think I was doing a post-game interview saying that this game is should be run now where it's everyone going 90 miles an hour head first, and everyone's going to take shots along the way. And whoever's sticking at the end, you know, head is still popping out of the sand at the end, that's your winner, because that's what Survivor needs to evolve into. You know what I mean? Like, we're always going to have the newbie seasons where they cast 20 players and you have your aggressive, your war dogs, and your, you know, your real boisterous players. And then you have your more quiet types, Chelsea from my season. And that's great because you have a mixed cast of mixed personalities. But I think this game deserves all, like, you could have a mix of personality, but I want to see more aggressive personalities out there.
I actually think
from the evolution of the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually think 37 and 38 were both good examples of it's going that way. Cause yes. Even like 38, you had quiet players like Victoria, who you still saw that there was something going on there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just playing quietly. Yes. Whereas like there's certain players where, like, if you go all the way back to like season 4 and you watch like Zoe on that season, you're like, what was she doing out there? Like, I don't really understand what's going on.
Yeah. I think the earliest seasons you can give a pass to because it was like, wow, I'm doing this adventure. And this, I mean, not to say that it's not still that feeling of this adventure, but I mean, like, stop it. All right. Mm-hmm. We're approaching season 40. Like, if you're not there to, if you're going to complain that it's rain, I'm not to say you can't complain. I mean, if you're in there, I didn't go through 10, 15 straight days of rain. So you can complain about those things. But what I'm saying is, like, you just, like, stop it. Just play hard. This is too deep into this game. We're too far. It's season 40. Stop it. I don't want to hear it. Just get involved, do something, make something happen. You can still be subtle. You can still play a quiet Victoria game. I think Victoria played a magnificent game, but like you said, it just wasn't like, from a viewer standpoint, just you wish you saw more of her. You wish you saw those more aggressive moves from her, but that's just some people's style. You know, it is what it is. But like you said, at least you could see when Victoria was thinking or speaking, you knew that her mind was going and she was an effective player.
Yeah. And there's moves that are made there. I love that this has turned into like a call to those who are gonna be like 41, 42,
oh, 43. It has to be.
Because I do agree with you, like 40, this is kind of the way it was with 20, where Heroes vs. Villains hits. And it was like, that was our best season. And the reason is because everybody was playing 100 miles an hour. I mean, that Colby confessional, for as much of a mess as Colby was in that season, that confessional he has at the end where he's like, you know, I gave up, I went, I laid down, blah, blah, blah. And then he pauses for like 10 seconds.
Right.
And he's like,
tries not to
cry. And then I got up. And then I got up. And it's like nothing came of it, but you're still like, ooh, like, here we go. Like, there's something going on here.
Yes.
And I think that it was a little disappointing after that because 21, 22, 23, 24 were kind of boring seasons because it wasn't aggressive players. But 40 could be such a great intro because if everybody's coming out with their A game and they've all won the game before and they're all willing to put it all on the line, what does that tell you for the newbies who are going to follow that?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Season 40 needs to set the footprint for the next generation.
Yeah.
For the next generation of players, it needs to say, look, season 40 is less about who is the best winner of winners. And that's what it's going to be. We're going to get to see that. But it really needs to be, this is not even Survivor as we know it. This needs to be a completely new game. You know what I mean? And I hope that these players bring that. I hope they know that that's part of their job out there is to really, I mean, you could say it's their job. At the end of the day, it's their job to bring home money to their family, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But nonsense. You already got a million.
Yeah.
Go out there and show us what you got. You know what I mean? Show us what you got. Show us what you're made of. And like you said, lay the blueprint for the new players to come. Absolutely.
Yeah, Survivor rich babies. That's season 40. Right. Yeah. They're all rich, spoiled babies.
Right.
You know?
Stop being a brat. Get out there and do something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's going to aggravate me. If they get out there, all winners, all already pocketed a million, they get out there and they're playing a conservative game.
No.
I'm going to go bananas. And let me tell you something. Jeff Probst will go bananas. All right. He'll literally start setting people's tents on shelters on fire and be like, you know what? go kill each other out in the ocean. I'm serious. Yeah, they'll say lightning. They'll say lightning struck it, but it won't. Literally, probes will be there lighting the camp on fire.
Yeah.
Well, Alexa, ask the all important question.
Yeah. So we have two questions that we're going to be asking everyone for this. What placement where do you think Wendell's going to place? It can be as specific as a number, or it can be family visit, finale. You can be as generic or as specific as you want.
Well, I think just based on what we talked about earlier, that he's more of a social player than a loud, aggressive, strategic player. I think that's going to give him the advantage to at least get his footing and at least make the merge. Mm-hmm. It's once he makes the merge and now individual challenges are coming into play is where I start to fear for him a little bit. You know what I mean? And If I had to say anyone would win the game, I'd say it's Wendell. But realistically, if I had to take odds on Wendell winning, it's different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's so I'm going to go with saying that he'll be I would say that he's going to really have trouble at six. Like if he gets to six, I think by that point, if he doesn't have idols up his sleeve to save him for six and five, or he doesn't win individual immunity. Same thing with me in the season I played with him. It was around 7-6 is when I was like, if he doesn't win this challenge, this is my move. And, yeah. Or if he, you know what I mean? And I never had that opportunity at six, he won it or he had the idol. And then at five, he won it. I waited too long. You know what I mean? So I think people see that about him. Like, all right, we can't let him get to that point. So around 7-6, if he doesn't have protection, I fear for him around 7-6.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And kind of going off something you had just said, if it's not Wendell who's winning, who do you have winning?
I think the most likely people to win this game, and I know you want one.
Oh, we're getting one. You can give us a list first.
If it's not Wendell, it's Jeremy. Adam Klein.
Second person, Jeremy.
Jeremy, Adam. Like one of those long shot, but I think is going to do something is Amber.
There you go.
I'm telling you, man. And then I got Yule too. I like Yule, you know, quiet, smart. Just, I don't think it's going to be anyone that's a real loud player. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's going to be anyone that's not going to be Tony. It's not going to be Boston Rob. It's Ben. I don't even think because Ben needs that aggressive gameplay like he had in his season towards the end where he was, you know, really, you know, he had everyone against him and he got loud about it. And he's like, all right, it's you versus me. And Parvati, no. Kim Spradlin, they really liked her in the auction. I don't
like her.
She scares the hell out of me. I wouldn't trust her. Not that I don't trust her. She seems very trustworthy, but she's just got some type of spell she puts on people that I don't want to be part of. You know what I mean? I don't want to be part of that. And, so I'd say my top three in the order would be Wendell, Jeremy, Adam.
Okay, so
So
Jeremy's the guy though for our
taking
sake,
Jeremy
because we're
you sure you don't want Amber.
Oh wait, what? So what are you guys doing?
We're just putting it all together for everybody that we're talking to.
Oh,
we're just putting it all together so that like when we do like release these, we can just be like, this is who everybody was.
Oh, that's
picking
cool. Yeah, and I don't know anyone else that you're doing too, so I get to see everyone else's
exactly. So it's kind of cool.
The second person have Jeremy.
I'm the second. Out of how many have you done so far?
This is only number four.
Oh, but still, no, but stay. It's 50%, right?
It doesn't mean it's going to be funny when these are all released because we're only making references to the ones that we've done before. So, like, we might release your second and be like, oh, yeah, we did this one fourth. And then, like, the person that we release first, we might not even do to, like, who even knows? It's just going to be a mess.
All right, whatever.
The referencing. But
it'll be funny. No, it'll be fun, though. Yeah, it'll be fun. But right now, we got you. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So, all right. So why is my Wendell pick, though, not going in? Because I'd still say Wendell, like, even though I think, like, he's going to have trouble at six or seven, he's still my guy. You know what I mean? Like, I still think he's going to win over Jeremy. But if, I don't know.
Well, that's why we keep asking, though, what place do you think they'll finish? So that you can kind of have your chance to say, this is who I got. Like, if you want to go with Wendell, I think he's going to get first. But then we want to ask, because otherwise, like, we feel like it would just turn into, unless you're Johnny Fairplay, we turn into everybody picking their right. winner to win.
Right. Understood. Understood.
You know, but okay. Fairplay never right, so, yeah. picks Xander. So, right. So no, I like that though. I like that. I feel like Jeremy is going to probably end up being the most popular pick just because everybody's seen him lose, but play an incredibly impressive game when he lost
right.
and then come out still as somebody who is seen as a really good player and win it right. pretty easily.
Oh, you know, it's funny you say that. Like, this is another point we talked about at the auction was why Kim to me is super dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. Even compared to Boston Rob. And the reason we spoke about this is because as dangerous as Boston Rob is, because we've seen him demolish the game, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But another thing we have seen that we haven't seen Kim do is lose. We've seen Boston Rob lose the game. We've never seen Kim lose the game. We've seen Kim play a flawless game, which was mistake-free. We've never seen her drop the ball at any point, right? But we've seen that Boston Rob is beatable. We've seen him and his weaknesses that he's, you know, they were, I mean, Tyson was the reason, you know, for the Russell Hands thing, but still we see that he's not Superman. He's beatable. Where Kim, I'm like, I don't think she scares me. I've never seen a weakness in her game. So that to me, and the same thing with Wendell, same thing with Nick Wilson,
one-time
same thing
winners. With Ben.
One-time winners haven't shown you their weakness. You know what I mean? So to see that and then to say, all right, Sandra is a legend and she's so threatening and Boston Rob is a legend and she's so threatening and Parvati is so threatening. Yeah, but we've seen them lose and we've seen a weakness in their game. Not really. I mean, they still lost playing a really impressive game. But I think that puts more of a target maybe on a Kim Spradlin mm-hmm. because no one can say, oh, we can keep Kim around because she's not good at so-and-so, or we can keep Wendell around because he's not good at so-and-so. No, we haven't seen what they're not good at. We've only seen them be good at stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm curious to see, that was a big topic of conversation in the auction. I'm curious to see if that conversation comes up in the game in 40, I want to see if people bring up, like, I've never seen this person lose versus I've seen that person lose. And what is the up and down to that, you know?
And I actually think that some of these winners who lost first, I'm talking Amber, I'm talking Sarah Lucina,
right.
I'm talking Parvati, I'm talking Tyson, who lost first and then won.
Right.
They know, I think it's an advantage for them because they know
their mistakes.
Their mistakes. And right. then they corrected them and won. And I think somebody right. like Sarah Lucina, who sits down her first time and tries to play the middle and screws it up, then comes out the second time, tries to play the middle and plays it flawlessly.
Right.
She now knows how to play it flawlessly. Kim doesn't know
right.
what her flaws are. As far as she's concerned, she dominated the final tribal, so she didn't do anything wrong.
Right. And I think she's going to tell herself, why would I change anything? Mm-hmm. What I did the first time is perfect. And I think, And typically that would be the advice I'd give to someone who won their season. It's like, don't make big adjustments. What you did is perfect. But Kim did something no one's ever seen. I mean, mm-hmm. just the way she completely dictated every move of her season and her soldiers just followed her lead. You know, Wendell didn't do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Jeremy didn't. Nobody's played a game like that. And again, I don't know if she just got really lucky with a pretty vulnerable cast or if she really has that ability to have people around her see it her way and change their minds to go the path that she wants them to. Mm-hmm. But I would say she does need to make an adjustment because that would scare the hell out of me and I would not keep her around at all.
And I think, too, with a lot of these winners, what's going to be interesting is the people who won and they would have won against anybody on their season. I think Kim is somebody she would have won against anybody on her season. I think Wendell probably wins against anybody on the season, right? Like, is that right? I think Michelle wins against anybody on the season because if she beats Aubrey, she beats anybody on that season. I think Tyson, another one. Danny Boatwright maybe doesn't beat Rafe, but you know, when you start getting into this, Jeremy would have beaten anybody on second chances. When you start looking at it from that perspective of would you have beaten anybody, I feel like those are the people who are going to adjust their games the least. Whereas Adam right. Klein, he would have lost to David. He would have lost to Jay. Right. And Brett LaBelle will tell you till he's blue in the face that he would have beaten Adam Klein. Well, if that's the case, Adam has to adjust his game because sure. he would have only beaten specific players. Certain
people, right.
And that's going to be in his mind.
Right. And that was his ability. That the reason he won was he knew who not to sit with, right? Yeah. That's his gift in the game. And I think most people that are on season 40 will know who not to sit with, you know, and who not to go to the end with. And that was even for Wendell and I when we played our season. Like, we knew, like, you could have pitched us the greatest story, like Kellen, for example, at 8 or 7. Like, she was pleading. And Wendell and I were like, neither of us want to sit with her because she has like this great story, and it doesn't matter how much she does this. I just put a little light on because it's getting dark out.
It's
is
working.
That okay?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're
it's perfect. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, good stage lighting.
Okay, good. It didn't like, in other words, Wendell and I knew at the merge, the order in which we wanted people to go. They didn't always go in that order. You know, circumstances took place. Dez started getting crafty and decided she wants to play her own game. She became a threat. We had to get rid of her now. But I think in the game, for most seasons, I think the people who are playing the game know the order in which they want to get to that final three. Mm-hmm. And they know the people they want to be sitting with at final three. Now, the only thing that got a little out of control for me was I really wanted to be at the end with Chelsea. And I was hoping it could have been worked out where Wendell was at Chelsea, me and Laurel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But again, not to get into my season, but the point I'm trying to make is that there is always this thing that, you know, the path you want to take to get there. And if you can see it, that money moves ahead. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And ultimately, like Adam Klein, his gift was to know, I can't be sitting there with David. I can't be sitting there with this one. I can't be sitting there with that one. And that's going to be, I think everyone in the season that's playing for 40 is going to have that ability to be able to read that far ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Alexa, do you have anything else for Dom or Dom? Do you have anything else for us? I mean, I feel like we've gone so...
This is a good discussion. Here. Yeah, this was better. This was more just like evolution of Survivor.
Yeah, sorry.
I like
the summer's here now, and I'm kind of out of it, and I'm even been off. Like, I'm not nearly as much on social media. I'm on social media a lot more during the season when the season's on, because I like to see comments and I like to be a part of it. But as soon as the Survivor season ends, I just kind of like, I'm not checking things as much. And it's like, it's nice, it's refreshing, and I'm back to doing normal things. And when I do decide to jump back in that world, you know, whether I go to a charity event or I hop on a podcast, it brings me back, you know, and then I get to like dive back into that deep rabbit hole of the Survivor world. And yeah, and even when I'm not on social media, whatever it is, there's always like, I'll be laying in bed and I'll think of like, oh my God, I bet in season 40, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And I want to see how they go about doing this or doing that. So when I start having a conversation like with you guys about it, I like to bring those ideas up, because if they end up happening, I like to be like, yeah, we talked about that. You know, that was something we talked about.
I say anybody who's close to being cast on 41 and 42 should listen to this podcast before they go out there. This is the most important one of the entire series, despite the fact that we've only done 4. This is the most important one of the entire series to listen to before you're about to play, because we got real on here.
You know what I would have liked? I would have liked the season 40 players to listen to some of this before they go out and play. I want them to know that they have a job to do. You know what I mean? Like, bring it, you know?
What's going to be great is when we release these and when those people end up listening to it, knowing how they already played, and they're like, crap, Dom's going to be real pissed at me.
He's going to be disappointed. Yeah. You know what, though? I won't be, because I understand that circumstances in the game will force you to do things you don't necessarily want to do, and you can end up having to take the easy way out or being a coward. And, you know, like, sometimes you want to be that big player, but you just know that it could be your demise. So I'm not going to really be bummed. I just hope overall, as a fan, season 40, we've been waiting for all winners for a long time. just make us proud. You know what I mean? Represent the show for what it is and then lay that platform for future players. That's all we ask. Not me. We. That's what we ask.
I love it. Alexa, wow. I don't want
to take us home. Alexa, take us home.
I love that. That's the audio bite.
So pretty much just do everything that Dom said, but also become a patron of the Survivor Specialist.
Absolutely.
Go to patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. I have no idea how many YouTube or Instagram followers we have at this point because I'm saying this 6 months earlier than it being released. Right. Thank you for all of the attention and love that you've been giving us. Keep that going. Dom, we love having you on. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting.
Happy to be here. Great talking to you guys.
Thanks, Dom.
All right.